from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Some of those conversations are sort of ongoing. I mean, you get 20 people in a room for 12 to 15 hours a day talking through different deals. And it's sort of hard in the moment because we didn't know which guys would get moved, which guys wouldn't. And so now that it's over, you know, that's what the next couple of days will be, sleep and roster construction. So I think we'll work on both of those and try to figure out exactly the right way things to do now that we know what's going to happen. And it is a big difference. I mean, I'm still so used to having more movement in August. And now that we're sort of locked in, it does make things that much more difficult.
That is the Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, in his post-deadline press conference. This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. It's the Bernstein and Holmes show. It's Thursday, and Leila Rahimi is here today because she had White Sox responsibilities yesterday.
Yeah, it was me and Gordon Beckham. And Gordon was pretty fired up after the game, talking about self-accountability and what players can do to show that they belong in the big leagues. It was interesting. There's a segment of it on the NBC Sports Chicago YouTube channel if people want to check it out.
Gordon's been having fun over there, and it's been like I've literally ran into Ozzy a couple of days ago over there, and that was fun to talk baseball with him. And it was also interesting to just kind of watch. Like, I couldn't believe the White Sox sent Pedro Grifol to the podium yesterday. I'm like, if you were going to fire him, this will be the time.
Today is a day off. As I understand, they traveled to Minnesota today.
Was he with them?
Well, they haven't gone.
Oh, they haven't left yet. They travel to Minnesota.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was saying.
Pedro is kicking stick.
Would this be? I'm just throwing this out there. This is not based on any intelligence. Lord knows I have none. But would this be a good day to just quietly say, hey, Pedro?
Yesterday would have been a great day to do it, considering the news cycle.
But, better a day late than not.
I got a bag of bears over there.
Bears.
I'll tell you at high noon.
She's not kidding.
It's a bag of bears.
She's not kidding.
When I say that the law of attraction sometimes works, this may be the best example.
Bears.
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 Lots. Okay, so for people like me who were at work yesterday during normal times, but not drive times, what happened? What did Jed say?
Well, Jed was on with Parkins and Spiegel, and there was a lot. I highly recommend that people go back and listen to the whole thing. There's even a little, just a touch of snippy, just a touch.
We've definitely had some awkward conversations with Jed after the trade deadline.
The
2021
snippy,
ring a bell.
When he was pinned down to some questions on things, this is what Jed said about evaluating how to build a Cubs roster now that this thing the last 2 years hasn't gone his way.
I think anytime you struggle, I think you soul search and you think about those things critically. I think you'd be lying to say that you don't. Sometimes I think that there's a level of randomness to our game. There's a reason we play 162 games, that's a reality. But yes, I think of course as you struggle, you think about all the different decisions you made, which things you passed up on, which things you did do and did you do enough? And of course, like, that's just the nature of these jobs. I think that you're always A, trying to get better, but B, you're always thinking about which decisions you did or didn't make when you're struggling. You wouldn't be a competitor, and you wouldn't be thorough at your job if you didn't think about all those things.
I need him to do more than think about it, because I was wondering, like, if I were in the interview and asked that question, what would be kind of the follow up for me with this particular answer? How? it's okay that you're thinking about it. I'm glad that, like, that's the first step. I want to know who's your ombudsman, like, baseball wise. Where are you going to find out if you are actually behind the trend? And I was like, okay, well, could you relate it to your job? And it's not apples to apples, but I have other people listen back to segments and go, did I get that right? Did I interview that person well? Did we hit on the right thing? Is Jed doing that?
We also have supervisors. And Jed is now the president of baseball operations.
That's why I'm thinking more of peer to peer. Like, is there someone, like, can he call Theo and be like, hey, what do you think of what it is that we're doing? That's what I want to know. I want to know what his process is. Not that he's thinking about it, because of course he's thinking about it. What action goes along with you thinking about it that will allow you to know if you are or are not on the right track?
Don't you think that part of that implies that it's Carter Hawkins because he's a general manager and we've seen other teams go to, say, a single decision maker?
Here's my issue with it being Carter. I think that having Carter there is helpful, but I also think that when you hire someone, the chances of them not telling you the truth can be biased by them wanting to keep their job.
Do you remember the conflict that we always discussed that was much covered between, in Boston, between Theo Epstein and Larry Lucchino?
Yes.
That you had the young wunderkind and you had the old guy. There's nothing wrong with having an emeritus. If in a properly run organization, I know that,
because you know what you're walking into, right?
That's doing a lot of work.
Shmoney Shmarusa.
I wasn't even going to go there. Huh? But to have what Roland Hemond had been, to have, it doesn't even have to be somebody who's plugged in all the time, but just
what does this look like from the outside?
Having an old person around is never such a terrible idea. And it's not threatening anyone's job. It's not saying this is my special assistant to the owners whispering in someone's ear.
Yeah, it's not Doc showing up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's somebody just say, hey, let me there's the oracle down the hall. Sometimes there's a lot of businesses, and this doesn't just go for baseball. There are a lot of businesses that can't wait to push old people out. When you could be best served giving keeping people around and saying, would you just look at this for me and give me a thought?
100% on that. I mean, that's a cultural issue in a whole other discussion. But you know what? Older people with a lot of experience are expensive. And that's where a lot of that is founded in corporate America, as we know. We see buyouts offered all the time. That's a different piece. But you're right about that experience. You're paying for that experience. It has value. And that's the whole point.
I would exchange old for experience.
That's fair.
I would also argue this. I think Jed was that person for Theo. And knowing what we know about him, I think he would want to replicate that process or that piece of it. I think the best teams have some internal conflict. When you come from a categorical, I think when you're at odds a little bit and you don't have yes men surrounding you, that's when you get better results, because they're looking at your blind spots, whether or not you like it. Because that's what happens when you've got two different personalities and two different viewpoints. Having you work together is the hard part. Football is the best illustration, but I would also argue that on good baseball teams, the part of the person playing the eye test who isn't the statistician and who isn't just the numbers is typically your manager.
Jed needs a dreamer. Jed needs to be partnered with somebody who's a little crazy.
Well, but
because Jed is a really good adult in the room,
just like Carter.
I think Jed, and believe me, I don't, again, not apples to apples, but I always talk about this with my experience on as a board member. I'm a great worrier. I'm a great no guy. I'm really good at saying, let's look at all the liability issues. Let's look at what our exposure is. Are we sure? Are we sure? Are we sure?
You're good at taking the fun out of the things that require the fun being taken out of
it. I'm good in that role. But across from me or somewhere else at that table, it's great to have someone to say, hey, why not? Let's take a risk. It's okay. Maybe it doesn't turn out awful, and maybe it's all right. And if we're covered enough, it's fine. Just don't worry all the time. Let's go for it.
I think
Jed needs that person.
I think that I go back to a conversation that I had with Theo, where Theo talked about how insular the hiring in baseball is. Now, at the time, we were discussing it upon like racial and background wise. But
Jed has echoed that too.
Yeah. And then he went out and hired himself. Like Jed and Carter to me are very similar in approach, in how they talk about baseball. I haven't seen enough of a delineation to make me think that Carter is the dreamer.
I was under the understanding that Carter was hired for his knowledge that he brought from the Guardians organization.
Mm-hmm.
And how they are so good at developing and identifying talent. And if you've ever noticed, that's typically what I'm asking Carter about, is how do you think about things? Because to me, that is very valuable. I want to know that viewpoint.
I still don't see like enough of a disconnect between thought process when I hear the two of them talk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's different when you're behind closed doors, but I feel like it's very similar. And this texter, I actually agree with you.
You're 630 also representing texter, the voice of the organization, though, I think, too, when you talk to us.
Isn't counsel supposed to be that for Jed?
That's what I was saying.
I think he is. And I think that's why that we have seen a little bit of change. I think that we have seen, hey, man, I have to do this because you didn't give me what I needed. Hey, I'm going to try your Christopher Morel experiment, and then we're going to pull the plug on it, and we're going to go in a different direction. I'm gonna have to use bunts because you haven't given me enough power. I do think that there, like, between him being an accomplished manager and him having enough sandpaper as a former player to challenge, and now with the money, having the power to go, this isn't the way that we should be doing this. That's my hope. That's what I thought was going to happen. And maybe it is and will.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, is typically that foil has been the manager. Even with the Astros, A.J. Hinch was that foil to Jeff Luhnow at the time.
But
you know, Craig Counsell was an appropriate, I think, like background and mission statement foil to David Stearns, who is from that same GM tree.
But I'll just say that some of the examples that we have with this front office and the previous one is they don't like to be challenged that way. As weird as it sounds.
You're getting challenged every day on the field.
Because what happened when Joe started to challenge them? Then the whisper campaign started about, well, you know, we like to do things a certain way.
We're going to start being closer to the clubhouse. We're going to spend more time around the players.
Did you see what Joe said recently on Foul Territory?
Nope.
He was talking about the individuality of players and understanding how that needs to be put into practical application, like knowing who these people are as people. David Ross has talked about it a lot on this show.
Both of those managers were let go by this front office.
Right. And managing day-to-day and just understanding that part of it. And again, how does that contrast to what you're seeing the guys whose responsibility is to take the emotion out, to take the numbers and just look at them by themselves? You do need both.
Yeah, I can tell you just from having conversations with Joe specifically about what you're talking about, Layla, that his frustration, and I don't think that he did a good job voicing it all the time publicly. His frustration was Joe is a relationships guy. He understands how to talk to players. It's why he's been successful.
It's called a manager.
He understands how to manage. What he got tired of with the Cubs and with the Angels, and maybe even a little bit with the Rays, is that he got tired of the front office or the quant guys not going through him because he was managing the players and how they were intaking all of the information. Some guys want it all. Some guys will sit there. There are Carlos Correa types out there that can sit and talk with front office quants all day long. There are some guys who are like, can you make it plain for me? I don't need a stack of papers. Tell me to stop swinging at inside pitches. Done.
Or like the example Ian Happ gave us last week, talking with John Mailey, who also used to be a hitting coach for the Astros.
I think Jed needs a YOLO guy. And I don't know that that is Craig Counsell, who I also think is somewhat deliberate.
Can you YOLO when you've got all that money on the books, though?
Right. That's the thing, too. What are those constraints?
YOLO requires expenses.
YOLO is not cheap. And I don't know who tweeted this, but someone said that's really the ideal marriage, is when you have one person who's like, let's fly to Paris. And the other person's like, I'd love to, but if we do that, then we can't do this, and we have to decide between. It's like, if you listen to one person, you'd be homeless in 2 months.
By experiences, not things.
And if you listen, well, there's something to be said for that. And if you listen to the other person, you'll be miserable. And the key is finding that balance between homelessness and misery.
Or was YOLO guy the one who's still paying $7 million to Trey Mancini this year?
Well, maybe it is. And
have you guys ever looked at that, by the way? The retained payroll this year? Is
the Daniel Descalzo list
that would be my YOLO budget, you know, that
whose bench is he on?
Yawn and
who's Daniel Daniel Descalzo in someone's coaching staff?
I think so.
We just talked about him, I feel like, a couple days ago.
Looks up on internet.
I think he is. Yeah,
to the internet.
But that idea
or the 2012 White Sox season in review book that I'm very excited about.
When did you turn into Grobstein?
They're giving them away at NBC Sports Chicago. There's all sorts of stuff.
I love stuff like this.
I don't sell them on eBay. Daniel Descalzo
he's with the Cardinals, yeah. Right? He and Ollie Marmol and Tommy Pham all came up together.
Oh, that's adorable.
What's up, fam?
Except for me, who had to suffer the World Series.
Karate man bleed on the inside.
But there is something to that balance, you know? And when you see it play out, like, the Morel trade is hard for me because I wonder if there's a part of you that wants to say, no, we believe in this guy. And then somebody has to say, he may have reached the peak with this organization. Like, we've done all we can do him.
Like, you could have done this last year and gotten a ton.
But see, that's the issue. We talk about it in basketball often. You know, here we are saying that with Patrick Williams. We talked about it with Larry Markkanen. Sometimes an organization has done all it can do. And then they go elsewhere and they flourish. And that's the risk you run.
There's another cut from Jed that I want us to play real quick. And Dan, I want you to react to this because we've been kind of hogging the conversation a little bit. This is Jed talking about building offense and adding a 6-war, 7-war type player to an offense doesn't necessarily mean the offense is going to get better.
What?
Well, one person, I mean, is not going to change our offense. I think that as I look at what things I'm looking forward to seeing over the next 2 months, like, we need to be much better offensively. And certainly, whether it, swapping out, Paredes and sort of his approach versus Morel, that doesn't solve that issue. We have to have a lot of guys in that lineup. I think, have had solid years, but ultimately we haven't had anyone really overperform their projections. And we haven't hit situationally. And I think when you look at it and you look at this team, we've pitched well enough to be a contender, despite the fact that we have as many pitching injuries as almost anyone. We've battled through and pitched well. We haven't hit enough, plain and simple. And that's been a problem from day one. And certainly the expectation was not that Isak Paredes could come in and change that. We think he's certainly part of the solution. But I'm hoping over the next 2 months that we look more like the offense we were last year. And that certainly would give me some comfort going into the offseason, because there's no question that, looking at the way we played this year, the offense hasn't been good enough, and we haven't scored enough runs, and that's obviously put us in the hole that we're in.
Wow. Well, a couple things. First of all, I noticed the same subtext of excuse-making in, the pitching injuries. In the previous answer, it was, there's a lot of variance in a 162-game season. So he invoked captain variance in that. Both are true. Both are true, but don't necessarily need to be mentioned there. Also, we're not having anybody overperforming their projections. Well, when you do the projections, I'm going to say you have to rely on Prospectus or Fangraphs or Steamer or Zips or whatever you use. What your proprietary projections, don't look with rose-colored glasses at what could be. Look, do the opposite. Look at what is probably going to be, or it could look at everybody's 35% outcomes and then say, how do we bulwark against this? What do we do if this happens? And then it's like, you're not telling me Juan Soto in the middle of this lineup would make a difference?
That's a low-key indictment of your own decision-making when you say that.
Bobby Witt Jr.?
Right. But seriously, that is a... I actually think the Yankees are a good example of what he's talking about in that... What did I say to you guys when I'm like, oh, the Yankees finally turned into the team I predicted them to be last year? All they needed was Juan Soto. But they also have Aaron Judge hitting out of his mind.
And then they went and got Jazz Chisholm.
But that's the point, is there's a combination there. And then fans are still frustrated because the pitching doesn't always look good. And the general soreness is out now paid a visit to Gerrit Cole.
I would just hate to build my team around betting an overperformance and exceeding projections.
Yep.
That's not a business plan.
It's definitely a business plan.
I mean, you also...
And that's part of the problem.
But you also need guys who are having projections that have slugging numbers over 500. Right, like, that's how you ensure...
Yeah, so fine. Have him not overperform. If he just... Even if he slightly underperforms, have those be good numbers.
Right, like... You need a 5-WAR player who's actually just meeting his expectations.
Or maybe not quite, but is still better than most players.
And unfortunately, one of your most expensive players, who is a 4.5-WAR player, is not meeting his. But that is the idea.
Do you guys want to bet on tonight's game? You can. And Joe Ostrowski is going to tell us how next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
We have reached the point in the sports calendar where we are asking Joe Ostrowski about how to bet a Bears game, which is tonight. So it sounds exciting.
Bears tonight. Bears tonight. We're not going to see all the Bears tonight.
I used to host a show called... No, I wasn't called that.
Joe Ostrowski's on Twitter at
Joe. Isn't it Chicken Tonight?
I feel like chicken tonight. Like chicken tonight. Or you can make your own sauce with normal ingredients that you probably have in your house. That's better than what's in a jar.
Joe, hi.
Hi. Hey, you're going to have Buck and Aikman on your TV tonight.
It's here.
It's time. I'm happy. I'm still thrown off because a couple of weeks ago, we had Lawrence on the show. We had a guest on to represent every team, and we would always ask about the win total. We had 27 overs out of the 32 teams, and Lawrence was one of the 5 unders. He's under on the Bears.
Barely under.
Barely. Yeah? You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Because I think football's hard.
Why do you ask it like that, Joe?
Because everybody is on the over, and I was just a little surprised by that.
Also me. I am on the over. Yes. I am drinking all of the Kool-Aid.
I think football's really hard.
Red.
So I wish everyone luck, but.
Well, my biggest concern is actually the defense. And I know what they did in the second half and post Montez Sweat addition, but you know, you see it every single year, the regression on the takeaways and the level of the quarterbacks that they played in the second half when they put up a lot of those numbers. you know, like Dobbs and Heinicke and Bryce Young. There's a lot of bad there. So that's a little bit of my concern, that everybody's just checking this in as a top 10 defense this year. And Lawrence, like you said, football's hard.
Football's hard. We'll and let's see if they can actually have sustained pressure. If the Bears were to go over, and the reason that they went over is because Jervon Dexter Sr. is making that big of an impact, then I love it. I love it because they've needed that position to be good. The other thing is that you could make an argument that the starting other end is not on the roster yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it kind of, if you're looking for an angle for tonight, I kind of brought that into the handicap of this game. And I know it's, you know, the Hall of Fame game. What do you trust? Who's going to play much? None of the starters are out there. Well, maybe that gives you a clue on how this game is going to go early on. The Texans are a short favorite. They're -1.5. Before the Bears came out and announced that all the starters were not going to be playing in this game, the Bears were actually favored. So they decided to completely flip it. Oh, Caleb's out. Well, Stroud's out too. But they still end up making the Texans the favorite. It's a short total, 31.5. It always is with the Hall of Fame game, since you rarely see starters play. The last couple of years, it's gone over, but most of the time, it's gone under. I don't think there's any bettable info there. But the quarterback difference that we see, like, I would look at maybe Texans in the first half, possibly Bears in the second half, because you have likely Davis Mills and Case Keenum going for Houston versus Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien, and just the lack of experience there. And in the second half, it's probably going to be Tim Boyle against Austin Reed. I wouldn't want those two quarterbacks deciding my bet unless I'm going against Tim Boyle there.
And Austin Reed, let's get it.
It's going to be on your TV, but you don't have to bet on that. I don't want my money there, but I would look at Texans first half, probably Bears in the second half. Bears also don't have the depth that the Texans do at receiver. Even if their top three receivers are out, you still have Noah Brown, John Metchie. They have some decent receivers out there that can do something. So if you're looking for something, that's the way that I would go. I think the Texans will be all right early, and then it wouldn't surprise me if players we never see ever again do something for the Bears later.
I will say this. It might be a window into something that you need to know weeks from now. We know mm-hmm. how it goes. Your backup quarterback is going to play. So maybe this is a fact-finding mission more than anything to figure out what bet you're going to make when somebody's hurt way down the line.
Layla, one of the first things that was going on in free agency was what? Teams finding their backup quarterback. That typically does not happen. Some of them seem to get overpaid. Why? Because last year, like 20-some teams lost their starter for at least a game or two. Joe Flacco, look what he did with Cleveland at the very end. And I think he was the fourth quarterback that they ended up using. So what last year taught us is you better have some sort of a backup plan. I think typically teams look at it and say, well, if our quarterback goes down, we're screwed anyway. So what's the point? Well, this past offseason, I think teams certainly handled it differently.
Joe, we spent a segment talking about the new kickoff rule and trying to understand it and then trying to correct what is actually on the NFL website that isn't even up to date with what the rule actually is. How is the wagering community trying to bake in the effects of this, or is it completely impossible to do so?
That's what scares me about betting the total. A lot of people hear Hall of Fame game, bet the under. It's going to be ugly football. Just bet the under. Well, what if you get some great field position, right? You get some short fields, and that's what makes totals go over in the regular season. So if that ends up happening here, well, then maybe it's a different game. And it's hard. We were talking about on the show today. It's hard to have Hall of Fame weekend, and this is the first time we're going to see it tonight with this new rule. Just imagine Devin Hester with these rules, where they had to end up changing things in the game on the weekend that he ends up getting inducted. I look at it as more impossible to know because teams are going to be adjusting on the fly. Like you mentioned, the rules, these might not be the rules by the time we get to week one. But I, like I mentioned, it does scare me about the over, that if you're all in on this under, which went from 33 down to 31 now, you know, one score that can completely change it and likely put it over.
I've never really looked at this, so I am asking from a place of ignorance. There's no way there's player props on this game, is there?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
I don't think there's any way. All I've seen is spread and total, full game, first half, first quarter, and that's pretty much it. Yeah. Maybe later, if you get some confirmation in the games that teams take seriously, when you're going to have your starters out there, maybe then a little bit, but still coaches end up lying. That is something that I would take a look at down the road if you really want to bet the preseason. There are coaches that take this seriously, and there are other coaches like Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell.
John Harbaugh takes it seriously.
Oh, very seriously. Yeah, he has a 76% winning percentage. It was a 20-some game winning streak that was finally broken last year. Mike Tomlin takes it seriously, especially over the last 3 to 4 years. I think he has one loss in the preseason. So, yeah, there are certain coaches that believe in it, and some don't care. They just want to get out of there alive and everybody healthy.
Joe, I'm looking to an oracle that I don't know exists. When are the White Sox going to win?
Oh, it exists. It's now out there. I saw it at multiple sports books. Now we have a 17-game losing streak. Pick the day the White Sox are going to win. So the shortest number is the next game because you need a number of events for it to be a later game.
They are due.
There is a due factor, hashtag due factor.
But that's the gambler's fallacy.
I said it yesterday. I thought they were due.
Rob Hart had an elite tweet yesterday. He said the White Sox haven't won since Joe Biden was a presidential candidate.
I thought they were due.
Elite.
So what's the day?
That's the question. Here's how I'm looking at it. They go on this road trip, starts tomorrow at Minnesota. Can they get swept? Of course they can get swept. Then they go out to Oakland. And
yes,
after that.
Rough place for the White Sox.
It really is.
Oh, yeah. It always is.
Historically, it is terrifying.
Is Kurt Suzuki still there to bedevil them?
It doesn't matter.
Three-run homer.
It doesn't matter who it is.
I know.
I'm expecting them to get swept. Okay? So if you play into
in
that.
Oakland now?
Yeah. Yes, of course, right now, yes. I don't know when they're going to win. But the fun thing is, next Friday, they could break the Phillies record, I think it was 1961, for the longest losing streak ever, against the Cubs at 35th and Shields. That could set it. So if you think that the Sox are finally going to win that game, that's 35-1. Or the second game of the Cubs series, 50-1. You can bet on all this stuff. There's the Yankee series after that. You could pick games there. There's a wager that the White Sox next win won't come until after August 15th, which is 100-1.
No. What if it's crosstown, just in a weird Chicago baseball slap in the face?
That's what I'm kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it might be. Crochet is slated to throw in the first game.
Yeah, for like two innings.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
They're
going to give him the hook.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Joe, and I don't know the extent to which you consider yourself expert in this, but I have a feeling you know a lot more than I or maybe we. Something happened yesterday that was noted on the Predict It betting site. For the first time, we had a change in the market favorite to be the next president of the United States. How closely is this being watched? And I know that this is on the whims of news headlines and polls of various dubious quality and quantity, but that was kind of a big deal, was it not?
I saw it, but what's interesting now in the betting landscape, it's not talked about as much because most of the bettors that we're talking to on this show and my show is they bet legally. And legally, this is not available to wager on. And I think I've talked to you guys about this in the past. every bookmaker says the same thing. If we ever get to a point like it is in other countries where you can bet on this, this would be the biggest betting event, and it's not even close. It would be bigger than the Super Bowl. And we think about how much that is talked about and all the hundreds of prop bets, thousands that are available for that, that if that ever becomes available, man, would that just send things going crazy. I do remember in the past following these numbers, especially on election night, and they've been wrong. Some of these betting markets, mm-hmm. people are just constantly looking for plus money wagers to jump in. So I would be careful there. But yeah, the only way to bet on this is the offshore market.
Okay. I was just curious what the thought was, because I found it interesting. It found its way into my timeline that some of that stuff was happening.
Joe, as always, we appreciate you. Have fun tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That is Joe Ostrowski.
I'm kind of interested in that White Sox bet now.
Yeah, you are.
Which one? In the Cubs series?
But do you fade yourself?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a surplus. I think those of us that have employed the Holmes maneuver, the idea of them not winning a game until August 15th at 100-1, if any team could do it, it would be this one.
Hold our beer. Yep.
To FanDuel.
This is the Bernstein and Holmes Show with Layla Rahimi in on this Thursday. High Noon is next. You're telling the story, right?
There's a really good story that came out of the Olympics that I guess I have to hold off on.
Yeah, you got to hold off on that.
You can't
offer us what you offered us this morning and then not bring it to the airwaves.
It's all a right. Bears day. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Bears.
Next.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Sorry, we're late to this because I was telling them about a conversation I had at a party on Friday.
Oh, my God.
Where this just...
How do these people find you?
He's such a, guy who thinks he's smarter than me. Get in line with, thousands of other people. I don't want to talk to you.
Ugh.
It was one of the baggiest conversations I've had in a while. Please, if you're, I think he listens to the show to feel better about himself or something. You don't need me.
Just
tase
him.
I don't
time.
Care about you. Please stop talking to me. Most people who talk to me are awesome and I really enjoy the conversations, but that guy's the worst.
We talked about the looming Bears game that isn't really a Bears game. We played back some sound from Kalen Kaler on football night in Chicago, trying to begin to explain what the kickoff rule could be. I'm not sure I have any idea. We
determined that someone has to play the role of the kicking stick.
As the stick. We crept on our baseball X's. We broke down some of Jed Hoyer's explanation / passive aggressive excuse making, and we heard from Joe Ostrowski.
All right, so similar to having a conversation that was pointless and I wanted to end on Friday with a guy who was a real jerk, I keep my information private because, you know, I'm a person who is in broadcast.
And you like privacy, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So when I got a random package addressed to me that was vacuum-packed solid where I couldn't tell what it was on Amazon, I thought maybe it was these wristbands I ordered from when you're washing your face, and they're made out of terry cloth, so that, because you have makeup on, you don't want to, mess up your sleeves.
Holy crap!
So then they
That's a thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm living in 3008 when it comes to my Amazon purchases.
Huh.
I'm not an influencer, but I do like gadgets like that. So anyway, I thought that's what it was. And then I opened it up and unfurled 15 stuffed bears.
Bears.
And I was like, this has got to be a cruel joke, right? Somebody sent me bears. And then I realized it was an accident on Amazon Prime Day. I was supposed to have...
Hold on. You're missing steps here. Because you put it in the group chat and we were all terrified.
I was like, oh no, somebody has sent me bears. And I'm like, I'm a little worried they got my address or something.
We were ready to, you know, at least I was, we were ready to mount up.
Yeah, I thought it was like a David Fincher movie or something. Or somebody's taunting you by sending you a message with these. And you said they weren't even cute.
No, they're not cute. They're in a bag over there because I got to return them to the Amazon Go.
Show them.
No, if I can't get them back in the bag, because there's so many.
Yeah, she's got them packed up so that she can send them back.
So, but I have a bag of bears right now.
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned that somebody had sent me bears. Also funny. You know, like, that would be a funny bit. Please don't send me bears. But that would have been a funny bit. Like, but also slightly creepy, because, hey, Layla, I know you like bears, so here's some bears. So then I realized, no, it was an accident. Bars. I was supposed to get a skirt that I didn't get, and it was an Amazon Prime mistake. So then I opened up the return, and it said, why are you returning this? And I was going to be like, bears. So I'm like, what the hell, like, universe, law of attraction, baby Jesus, Oprah thing is going on here? I'm like, how did I get bears in the mail instead of a skirt?
That's it. I'm going over bears wins now after that.
I have 15 stuffed bears in my bag right now.
Did you have to re-vacuum seal it?
Like, I mean, there was no way. Like, okay. There was no way. So I'm like, here I am with this unwieldy bag of bears, and I'm like trying to get back into this tiny bag.
Bears.
And it's like, what a reason for return? Well, I got bears. I can't wait to talk to the person manning the Amazon Go about this.
Does that mean 15 wins? Right? For each bear?
Oh, my word.
What if?
If it's 15 wins, I'm buying the package of bears again.
What if? Bears. Just as we were talking about the possibility that Hallis Hall Lawnmower Man is a listener and is indeed doing a long-form bit going after Mark Grody.
Bars.
What if there's somebody at an Amazon fulfillment center that's like, oh, a box for Layla Rahimi.
Bears.
Watch this. I know you'd love this skirt, but... Bears.
I know
bears.
You love this skirt that you ordered.
Right, but
paid
instead the person is just like packing a thing of bears in there as a bit.
The best part was when I opened it up because they were sealed to,
and they,
like,
pop out.
I mean, like, tiny circles. You know, I'm talking like teeny. And then there's just like, and I'm like, oh God, bear.
So listen, I don't want anyone sending Layla anything.
Suddenly bears.
Please don't.
But if you want to send,
I have to get it. Like, it doesn't even go directly to me anyway. It goes to security.
If you want to send me bears to the station, we will display them.
Yes.
I'm like, guys, I gotta get these bears in the bag.
Bears.
Reason for return, bears.
Bears.
I'm like, this is the law of attraction bears. Playing a cruel trick on me.
But do they, is this fulfilled in China?
Bears.
Or somewhere?
I'm convinced it was God.
Oh, by the way, Dan, I don't know if to kind of connect a couple of shows together, this is not helping with Jason not saying bears.
I know.
Just so you know.
I know. But he does. He was doing it again.
The change starts with you, sir.
I used to say ticket references all the time here. Thanks. I do it all the time. And, like, I know that I'm playing a soundboard in my head that doesn't apply.
I say Hawk Harrelson stuff all the time.
I constantly
randomly
do it. Yes.
Get on back there.
The best place to do that? The golf course.
I agree.
The golf course was made for Hawk Harrelson. That's where Hawk became Hawk. So... yeah, you're right. But I'm trying to make sure he's not the weird kid at his new college.
What if I...
Bears.
What if I told you that with a bunch of bears going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, that I had a conversation with one that should be in the Hall of Fame?
I would say I would like to hear that conversation.
Guess what? You're going to next. Bears.
So, bears.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
I'm sorry, we're late to this because I was telling them about a conversation I had at a party on Friday.
Oh, my God.
Where this just...
How do these people find you?
He's such a, like... guy who thinks he's smarter than me. Get in line with, like, thousands of other people. I don't want to talk to you.
Ugh.
It was one of the baggiest conversations I've had in a while. Like, and just... Please, if you're, I think he listens to the show to feel better about himself or something. You don't need me.
Just
like,
tase him.
I don't
time.
Care about you. Please stop talking to me. Most people who talk to me are awesome and I really enjoy the conversations, but that guy's the worst.
We talked about the looming Bears game that isn't really a Bears game. We played back some sound from Kalen Kaler on football night in Chicago, trying to begin to explain what the kickoff rule could be. I'm not sure I have any idea. We determined
that someone has to play the role of the kicking stick.
As the stick. We crept on our baseball X's. We broke down some of Jed Hoyer's explanation / passive aggressive excuse making, and we heard from Joe Ostrowski.
All right, so similar to having a conversation that was pointless and I wanted to end on Friday with a guy who was a real jerk, I keep my information private because, you know, I'm a person who's in broadcast.
And you like privacy, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So when I got a random package addressed to me that was vacuum-packed solid where I couldn't tell what it was on Amazon, I thought maybe it was these wristbands I ordered for when you're washing your face, and they're made out of terry cloth, so that, like, because you have makeup on, you don't want to, like, mess up your sleeves.
Holy crap!
So then they
That's a thing?
It. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm living in 3008 when it comes to my Amazon purchases.
Huh.
I'm not an influencer, but I do like gadgets like that. So anyway, I thought that's what it was. And then I opened it up and unfurled 15 stuffed bears.
Bears.
And I was like, this has got to be a cruel joke, right? Somebody sent me bears. And then... I realized it was an accident on Amazon Prime Day. I was supposed to have...
Hold on. You're missing steps here. Because you put it in the group chat, and we were all terrified.
I was like, somebody has sent me bears. And I'm like, I'm a little worried they got my address or something.
We were ready to mount up.
Yeah, I thought David Fincher movie or something, or somebody's taunting you by sending you a message with these. And you said they weren't even cute.
No, they're not cute. They're in a bag over there, because I got to return them to the Amazon Go.
Show them.
No, if I can't get them back in the bag, because there's so many.
Yeah, she's got them packed up so that she can send them back.
So but I have a bag of bears right now.
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned that somebody had sent me bears. Also funny. You know, like, that would be a funny bit. Please don't send me bears. But that would have been a funny bit. Like, but also slightly creepy, because, hey, Layla, I know you like bears, so here's some bears. So then I realized, no. Bears. It was an accident. Boss. I was supposed to get a skirt that I didn't get, and it was an Amazon Prime mistake. So then I opened up the return, and it said, why are you returning this? And I was going to be like, bears. So I'm like, what the hell? What the hell, like, universe, law of attraction, baby Jesus, Oprah thing is going on here? I'm like, how did I get bears in the mail instead of a skirt?
That's it. I'm going over Bears wins now after that.
I have 15 stuffed bears in my bag right now.
Did you have to re-vacuum seal it?
There was no way. There was no way. So I'm like, here I am with this unwieldy bag of bears, and I'm like trying to get back into this tiny bag.
Bears.
And it's like, what reason for return? Well, I got bears. I can't wait to talk to the person manning the Amazon Go about this.
Does that mean 15 wins, right, for each bear?
Oh, my word.
What if?
If it's 15 wins, I'm buying the package of bears again.
What if? Bears. Just as we were talking about the possibility that Hallis Hall Lawnmower Man is a listener and is indeed doing a long form bit going after Mark Grody. What if there's somebody at an Amazon fulfillment center that is like, oh, a box for Layla Rahimi.
Bears.
Watch this. I know you'd love this skirt, but bears.
I know
bears.
You love this skirt that you ordered.
Right, but instead the person's just bears. Like packing a thing of bears in there as a bit.
And the best part was when I opened it up because they were sealed to
and they
like,
pop out?
I mean, like tiny circles, you know, I'm talking like teeny. And then there's just like, and I'm like, oh God, bear.
So listen, I don't want anyone sending Layla anything.
Suddenly bears.
Please don't.
But if you want
to
send.
I have to get it. Like, it doesn't even go directly to me anyway. It goes to security.
If you want to send me bears to the station, we will display them.
Yes.
I'm like, guys, I gotta get these bears in the bag.
Bears.
Reason for return, bears.
I'm like, this is the law of attraction bears. Playing a cruel trick on me.
But is this fulfilled in China?
Bears.
Or somewhere?
I'm convinced it was God.
Oh, by the way, Dan, I don't know if to kind of connect a couple of shows together, this is not helping with Jason not saying bears.
I know.
Just so you know.
I know. But he does. He was doing it again.
The change starts with you, sir.
I used to say ticket references all the time here. Thanks. I do it all the time. And like, I know that I'm playing a soundboard in my head that doesn't apply.
I say Hawk Harrelson and stuff all the time.
I constantly
randomly
do it. Yes.
Get on back there. It will.
The best place to do that. The golf course.
I agree.
Because the golf course was made for Hawk Harrelson. That's where Hawk became Hawk. So yeah, you're right. But I'm trying to make sure he's not the weird kid at his new college.
What if I...
Bears.
What if I told you that with a bunch of bears going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, that I had a conversation with one that should be in the Hall of Fame?
I would say I would like to hear that conversation.
Guess what? You're going to next. Bears.
So, bears.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.